Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Remember by Avram Goldhar and Tim Mezekes Yavamas Daf Kuf Tes Vav, the 15th parak at Isha. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara asks, Hechazika hi mochama ba'olam mahu. If a woman established for us that there was a war in some part of the world, what is the halacha regarding believing her that her husband died in the war? Do we say mala l'shaker? What reason would she have to lie and say he died in a war when she would have been believed if she had said there was peace in the world? Or do we say kevin dichazka amru b'dedame? Since a war has been established, she might say that he died based on what seems to her to be the truth without having seen him dead. The Gemara's second attempt to bring a proof is from a brisa that taught, if a woman came and said, Nafnu aleinu ovti kochavim, nafnu aleinu listim, idolaters fell upon my husband and me, bandits fell upon us, who mase v'nitzalti ne'emenes, he died and I was saved, she's believed and permitted to remarry. Being attacked by idolaters or bandits is like the case of being in a war, and here we see that she's believed, evidently because she was the one who made us aware they were attacked, when she could have simply said her husband died and would have been believed. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying the reason we believe her in the Brisa's case is that she stayed with her husband until he actually died. As Rav Yehuda said, Isha klei zena aleha, a woman's weapons are always upon her. The Mefarshim explain that it's presumed that the idolaters or bandits will spare her life to have illicit relations with her. Therefore, she could remain with her husband to see that he died and not need to flee like she would in the case of a war. Pointing to the Gemara's Eidecha b'melachama mahu, what's the halacha regarding a single witness who testifies to a husband's death during wartime? Is the reason he is generally believed when he testifies to a husband's death is that since it's something that's likely to be exposed, he's presumed not to lie, and therefore here too he will not lie? Or is he believed because he gufa daika minaspa, she herself investigates carefully and only then remarries, but here during wartime she convinces herself that he died and shall not investigate carefully? The Gemara brings an incident where the wives of two Talmid Chachamim were permitted to remarry based on testimony of women who saw them drown. Now, since drowning is akin to dying at war, and the testimony of women, even 100 women, are considered like the testimony of one witness, we see that one witness is believed that a husband died at war. The Gemara rejects this answer, saying the situation was where the men drowned in a sea, where the seashore cannot be seen, and in such a case, a wife would not be permitted to remarry. Rather, the woman said, they brought the bodies up in our presence, and we saw them immediately while they were still identifiable, and they said the simanim, the marks that identified them as the Talmid Chachamim. Therefore, the rabbis did not rely on their testimony based on the simanim they saw. And point number three, Yitzhak Reish Galusa, the son of the sister of Rabivi, was going from Kartava to Aspamya, and he died. They sent the following message from there, Yitzhak Reish Galusa from Kartava died. The Gemara asks, Michai Shinu Latre Yitzhak or Lo? Do we need to suspect that there are two Yitzhaks or not? Abai said we must be concerned, and Rava says we do not need to be concerned. Abai is concerned that while there's no other person by that name living in Kartava, someone from somewhere else might have traveled to Aspamya. Rashi explains that Rava holds that since there was only one person known by that name of Kartava, we can assume that it's the same person in the message. Abai and Rava bring supports for their position. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara asks, Hechazika hi mochama ba'olam mahu. If a woman established for us that there was a war in some part of the world, what's the halacha regarding believing her that her husband died in the war? Do we say mala l'shaker? What reason would she have to lie and say he died in a war when she would have been believed if she had said there was peace in the world? Or do we say kevin dichazka amru b'dedame? Since a war has been established, she might say that he died based on what seems to her to be the truth without having seen him dead. The Gemara's second attempt to bring a proof is from a brisa that taught, if a woman came and said, Nafnu aleinu ovti kochavim, nafnu aleinu listim, idolaters fell upon my husband and me, bandits fell upon us, who mase v'nitzalti ne'emenes, he died and I was saved, she's believed and permitted to remarry. Being attacked by idolaters or bandits is like the case of being in a war, and here we see that she's believed, evidently because she was the one who made us aware they were attacked when she could have simply said her husband died and would have been believed. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying the reason we believe her in the Brisa's case is that she stayed with her husband until he actually died. As Rav Yehuda said, Isha klei zena aleha, a woman's weapons are always upon her. The Mefarshim explain that it's presumed that the idolaters or bandits will spare her life to have illicit relations with her. Therefore, she could remain with her husband to see that he died and not need to flee like she would in the case of a war. Pointing to the Gemara's Eidecha b'melachama mahu, what's the halacha regarding a single witness who testifies to a husband's death during wartime? Is the reason he is generally believed when he testifies to a husband's death is that since it's something that's likely to be exposed, he's presumed not to lie, and therefore here too he will not lie? Or is he believed because he gufa daika minaspa, she herself investigates carefully and only then remarries, but here during wartime she convinces herself that he died and shall not investigate carefully? The Gemara brings an incident where the wives of two Talmid Chachamim were permitted to remarry based on testimony of women who saw them drown. Now, since drowning is akin to dying at war, and the testimony of women, even 100 women, are considered like the testimony of one witness, we see that one witness is believed that a husband died at war. The Gemara rejects this answer, saying the situation was where the men drowned in a sea, where the seashore cannot be seen, and in such a case, a wife would not be permitted to remarry. Rather, the woman said, they brought the bodies up in our presence, and we saw them immediately, while they were still identifiable, and they said the simanim, the marks that identified them as the Talmid Chachamim. Therefore, the rabbis did not rely on their testimony based on the simanim they saw. And point number three, Yitzhak Reish Galusa, the son of the sister of Ravivi, was going from Kartava to Aspamya, and he died. They sent the following message from there. Yitzhak Reish Galusa from Kartava died. The Gemara asks, Michai Shinun Latre Yitzhak or Lo? Do we need to suspect that there are two Yitzhaks or not? Abai said we must be concerned, and Rava says we do not need to be concerned. Abai is concerned that while there's no other person by that name living in Kartava, someone from somewhere else might have traveled to Aspamya. Rashi explains that Rava holds that since there was only one person known by that name in Kartava, we can assume that it's the same person in the message. Abai and Rava bring supports for their position. All right, so now we go to our Simur Daf Kuf Tes Vav, and this Simur was suggested to us by a number of people, by Uri Berger and Shalom Fried from Woodmere, New York, by Yoram Moskowitz from Teaneck, New Jersey, by Naftali Golombek from Brooklyn, and by Menashe Reuven Weiss from Yerushalayim. They all suggested Kuf Tes Vav is Ketores, and we use Ketores Maker as a Simur. A Ketores Maker. So here goes. The Ketores Maker's wife, who said there was a war going on where her husband had died, was approached by two women for perfume, since they smelled like fish from being at sea, where they identified two drowned men, who had the exact same names as two other men who were traveling. Once again, in slow motion. The Ketores Maker's wife, Ketores Maker, that must be on Daf Kuf Tes Vav. The Ketores Maker's wife, who said there was a war going on, where her husband had died, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, if a woman established for us that there was a war in some part of the world, what is the halacha regarding believing her that her husband died in the war? The Gemara attempts to bring a proof from a case where a woman is believed when she says that she and her husband were attacked by idolaters or listim and her husband was killed. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying the reason we believe her in this case is that she stayed with her husband until he actually died. As Ravidi said, a woman's weapons are always upon her. The Mefarshim explained that it's presumed that the idolaters or bandits will spare her life to have illicit relations with her. Therefore, she could remain with her husband to see that he died and not need to flee like she would in the case of a war. So the Ketores Maker's wife, who said there was a war going on where her husband had died, was approached by two women for perfume, since they smelled like fish from being at sea, where they identified two drowned men. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, what's the luck regarding an Eid Echad, a single witness, who testifies to a husband's death during wartime? The Gemara brings an incident where the wives of two Talmid Chachamim were permitted to remarry based on the testimony of women who saw them drown. Now, since drowning is akin to dying at war, and the testimony of women, even 100 women, is considered like the testimony of one witness, we see that one witness is believed that a husband died at war. The Gemara rejects this answer, saying the situation was where the woman said, they brought the bodies up in our presence, and we saw them immediately while they were still identifiable, and they said the simanim, the marks that identified them as the Talmid Chachamim. Therefore, the rabbis did not rely on their testimony, but on the simanim they saw. So the Ketores Maker's wife, who said there was a war going on where her husband had died, was approached by two women for perfume, since they smelled like fish from being at sea, where they identified two drowned men, who had the exact same names as two other men who were traveling. Which reminds us, Yitzhak Reish Galusa, the son of the sister of Vivi, was going from Kartava to Aspamya when he died. They sent the following message from there. Yitzhak Reish Galusa from Kartava died. The Gemara asks, Michai Shinu Latrei Yitzhak or Lo? Do we need to suspect there are two Yitzhaks or not? Abai said we must be concerned, and Rava says we do not need to be concerned. So once again, the Ketores Maker's wife, who said there was a war going on where her husband had died, was approached by two women for perfume, since they smelled like fish from being at sea, where they identified two drowned men, who had the exact same names as two other men who were traveling. All right, now it's time for four Blah Ba'a Chazara. Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. So the Simur Daf Kuf Yud Aleph is a kayak. So here goes. The Yavama left his divorced Charesh's Yavama on the shore. Well, he took the Katana Yavama he was waiting to do Chalitza with on a kayaking trip. Kayak? That must be one Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. The Yavam who left his divorced Chareshes Yavama on the shore. Well, he took the Katana Yavama he was waiting to do Chalitza with on a kayaking trip, which reminds us the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Amud Aleph stated that if one was married to a Katana and a Chareshes, then Ein Bias Achas Mehem Poter Et Tzara Tzara. Relations with one of them does not release her Tzara. The Gemara asks, what's their Takana? Meaning, how can they be released from their Zikas so they can marry other men? Rav Chisda said, in the name of Rav, Konas HaChareshes HaMotziah Beget V'Katana Tamtin Ad Shetagdil Tachos. The Avim should marry the Chareshes and then divorce with a get, and the Katana should wait until she reaches adulthood and then perform Chalitza. Rashi explains that he must divorce the Chareshes because the Chalitza of the minor makes him forbidden to the Chareshes. Rav Chisda said, you can infer from this that Rav holds under rabbinic law, Chareshes Kanuya U'mishiyureres, Katana Kanuya Ve'ena Kanuya. A Chareshes is the one who is partially acquired and partially left unacquired, and the Katana is the one where there's a suffix whether she's acquired or not. So the Yavama left his divorce Chareshes Yavama on the shore, while he took the Katana Yavama he was waiting to do Chalitza with on a kayaking trip, was joined by a small kayak with a Yavam Katan and a Yavama Katana. Which reminds us, the second mission on the Daf states, Yavam Katan Shabal Yavama Katana Yigadu Zem Zeh. If a minor Yavam had relations with a minor Yavama, we wait until they grow up together until they reach adulthood. Rashi explains, there's nothing that can be done since get katan ain't no get. The get of a katan is not a get. In the meantime, they are permitted to live together. So the Yavam who left his divorce Chareshes Yavama on the shore, while he took the Yavama Katana he was waiting to do Chalitza with, on a kayaking trip, was joined by a small kayak with a Yavam Katan and a Yavama Katana, and a bigger one with an adult Yavama taking her Yavam Katan out for the day. Which reminds us, the mission continues, Ba Yavama Kadola Tekadlenu. If the minor Yavam who's above 9 years old had relations with an adult Yavama, we wait until she raises him until he reaches adulthood. The Gemara questions how the minor Yavam may have relations with the Yavama, but the Pasuk states, L'hakim l'achiv shame, to establish a name for his brother, and he's not fit for this. Abaye answered, the Pasuk states, Yavama Yavo Aleha, her Yavam shall come upon her, which implies Kodu, whatever his age is. Rav explains why the Pasuk is not needed to teach this. Daf Kuf Yud Beis. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Beis is a Rubik's Cube. So here goes. The woman who put stickers on a Rubik's Cube, that must mean we're on Daf Kuf Yud Beis. The woman who put stickers on a Rubik's Cube, of all the men she was prohibiting herself to, but did not think to include a sticker of her Yavam, which reminds us, the question was asked, Nutul min Yehudim le'Yavam Mahu. If a married woman said, I'm removed from all Jews, meaning she made a neder not to have benefit from relations with any men, what's the halacha regarding the Yavam? Did she consider at the time she made the neder that her husband might die childless, and she'll fall to the Yavam Yibum? If so, then the Yavam is certainly prohibited to her. Or did she not consider the possibility, in which case he would be permitted to her? Rashi explains why she may have not considered the possibility. Rav said, Yavam eino kamba'al. The Yavam is not like the husband, as the neder did not apply to him, and if the husband dies childless, he may do Yibum with her. Shmuel said, Yavam haru kamba'al. The Yavam is like the husband, and just as a husband is forbidden to her, so is he, because the neder includes him. Abai brings the support for Rav's position. So the woman who put stickers on a Rubik's Cube, of all the men she was prohibiting herself to, but did not think to include a sticker of her Yavam, and ended up getting divorced against her will after she became a Chareshes, which reminds us, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri said to the Rabbanim, why may a woman who became a Chareshes be divorced, but a man who became a Cheresh may not divorce? They answered, Ein adoyma ha'misha megaresh le'isha miskareshes. A man who divorces is not comparable to a woman being divorced. She'isha yotzeh ratzona v'shelo ratzona ve'ish. For the woman can be divorced with her consent and without it, while the man may only divorce with his consent. Since a man who is mentally incompetent, such as a Cheresh or a Shotek, cannot express consent, they may not divorce a woman. So the woman who put stickers on a Rubik's Cube of all the men she was prohibiting herself to, but did not think to include a sticker of her Yavam, and ended up getting divorced against her will after she became a Chereshes, got married again, unlike the Shotek she knew, who could never get married at all. Which reminds us, Rami Bar Chama said, what's the difference between a Cheresh and a Chareshes that the Rabban instituted, a category of marriage and a Shota that the Rabban did not? The Gemara answers that in the case of the Cheresh and a Chareshes, where the rabbinic institution of marriage can endure, they establish Nisun. Rashi explains that deaf mutes can get along with other people and certainly with their spouses. In the case of the Shota v'Shota, where a rabbinic institution of marriage cannot endure, for Ein Adam Dar Im Nachash B'Kfifa Achas, for a man cannot live with a snake inside one basket, they did not institute it. Rush explains that it's not in the nature of insane people to coexist with others peaceably, and the marriage will ultimately fail. All right, so that completes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning. Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Kuf Yud Gimel is a geek. So here goes. The computer geek who was enthusiastically writing the Katana versus Chareshes marriage software program to automatically remind husbands that the Chareshes is the one who cannot receive Truma the Rabbanan, Nora Kasuba, was constantly being interrupted by his Shota wife he could not divorce because Rabbanan did not permit him. Once again, in slow motion. The computer geek, that must mean we're in Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The computer geek who was enthusiastically writing the Katana vs. Horeshus marriage software program to automatically remind husbands that the Horeshus is the one who cannot receive Truma Drabanan, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, what's the difference between a Katana who eats Drabanan Truma and a Horeshus who does not eat Drabanan Truma? After the first reason is rejected, the Gemara explains that the real reason a Horeshus may not eat Truma is Gezer Shemiyachu Cheresh Bipikachas, a decree lest a deaf mute Kohen feed the rice of Truma to his competent wife. Since she's competent and responsible for her actions and only married on a Drabanan level to the Kohen, she would be Chayav Misa. So the computer geek who was enthusiastically writing the Katana vs. Horeshus marriage software program to automatically remind husbands that the Horeshus is the one who cannot receive Truma Drabanan, nor a Kasuba, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, what is the difference between the Katana who has the right to a Kasuba and a Horeshus that does not have the right to a Kasuba? And answers that if a Horeshus received a Kasuba, men would be dissuaded and not marry her in the first place. Rashi explains that men will not be dissuaded from marrying a Katana since she will eventually become competent. The Gemara asks that if this is so regarding the marriage of a competent woman and a Cheresh, we're talking like Kasuba. Let the Rabban institute a Kasuba for her. For if the confident women do not get one, they would be dissuaded and not marry deaf-mute men. The Gemara answers that it's not necessary, since Yosem Sheish Rotzalisa Isha Rotzalinatze. More than a man desires to get married, a woman desires to get married. So the computer geek who was enthusiastically writing the Katana versus Horeshus marriage software program to automatically remind husbands that the Horeshus is the one who cannot receive Truma Drabanan, nor a Kasuba, was constantly being interrupted by his Shota wife he could not divorce because the Rabbanan did not permit him, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Kuf Yud Amud Beis stated that if a man married a woman who subsequently became a Shota, insane, he may not divorce her. Yitzhak said, Dvar Torah Shota Miskareshes Mini Dahavi Apikachas Bal Korcha. Under the Raisa law, a Shota can be divorced just like a Pikachas can be divorced against her will. What's the reason the Rabbanan said she cannot be divorced? So that people will not treat her in a hefker way after the divorce. The Gemara clarifies that Rabbi Yitzchak's teaching refers to one who can safeguard her get so she can be deraisa of divorce, but cannot safeguard herself from being treated in a hefker way. Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. So the Simur Daf Kuf Yud Dalet is a kiddie park. So here goes. The rabbi lost his keys on Shabbos and took his children to the kiddie park. Kiddie park? That must be more in Daf Kuf Yud Dalet. The rabbi lost his keys on Shabbos and took his children to the kiddie park by way of Rishus HaRabim, which reminds us Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna once lost his keys to the Beis Midrash in Rishus HaRabim on Shabbos. He came before Rabbi Vitas, who told him, go bring some young boys and girls to that place and let them play there, for if they find the keys, they'll bring them back on their own. The Gemara concludes, Rabbi Pedas holds, katan ochel nevelos ein beis mitzuvin la'afrisho, that if a katan is found eating nevela meat or any other derisa iser, basin is not chayev to separate him from that activity. If Basin were chayiv, then Rabbi Pedas would not permit the children who found the keys to carry them Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim. So the rabbi lost his keys on Shabbos and took his children to the kiddie park by way of Rishus HaRabim, told his son not to extinguish the fire that broke out on the swing set, which reminds us, one must tell a Jewish child that he cannot extinguish a fire on Shabbos since Shvisaso Alem, his resting is the adult's responsibility, and the child would do it al das avi, based on the understanding of what his father wishes. Whereas one does not have to tell an idolater to not extinguish a fire, since his shvisa is not the Jew's responsibility. And even if the idolater did it because he thought that's what the Jews wanted, it's still not a problem because over kochavim adaita the nafshi of it. An idolater always acts according to his own thinking. And Rashi explains that even if the Jew is not aware of the fire, the idolater will put it out, knowing that he will receive a reward for doing so. So the rabbi who lost his keys on Shabbos and took his children to the kiddie park by way of Rishus HaRabim told his son not to extinguish the fire that broke out on the swing set and assured his daughter that the boy pretending to be shot by an arrow isn't necessarily dead. Which reminds us, in the case of where a man and woman went overseas, when there was peace between them but war in the world, the woman is not believed to say that her husband died. And if you were to suggest that since there is peace between them, then she would not testify until she saw him dead, there's still a concern that she'll have seen him wounded by an arrow or a spear, and she assumes that he must have died when there are times when he can get medical care and still survive. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.